The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
To hell and back is in the job description. Being roughed up, scuffed up, run over, kicked, thrown, dropped, dunked, and done the unthinkable is a duty we've embraced for more than 40 years. Through superior engineering and constant innovation, only Pelican has conquered the chaos a life of ambition can dish out. And we've done it to empower you.
Welcome to The Reel Down on Paddle and Fin with your hosts, Dan Perry and Jimmy Skinner, where we talk about everything tournament kayak fishing. Here we go. Hey everybody, welcome back to The Reel Down on Paddle and Fin, your source for everything tournament kayak fishing. What's up, man?
Still dead, stay awake.
Every time I see that background, I'm about to upgrade mine.
I'm gonna speed mine up. We're gonna get hype.
Yeah, it's like a party. It's a podcast party back there. Okay.
It's not working. Oh, here we go.
If you're just listening, Jimmy has like a disco lights behind his TV. It's a very
high. We're gonna have to put a seizure warning if I keep it like that.
Yeah.
There we go. What's up, dude?
Brian, what's up, man? We got to hang out this weekend. We went fishing.
Finally.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't great. You got to run. I haven't been up there in a year. You really just got to figure out what's going on. And I mean, we caught some fish. I had literally my personal best smallmouth came up. It came up out of the water the first time. It was like a damn piece of plywood. It was so wide. It's like, good God, what is this? Because at first I thought it was a drum. It didn't really shake. And now I realize, oh Lord, those bass come out of the water second time, spit the bait at me, and I just cried for a minute.
I hate I missed it, but you gave me some information on a creek, and I went to find that said creek, and I found it, and I can't wait to, I didn't really, we were at the end of the day, and it was hot as crap, and I was just kind of almost over it already, but there were fish in the area, the water was kind of stagnant, really warm. But I think we get a little rain. That's a place I'm going to keep in mind. So I appreciate it. But yeah, we went out there. You were going to teach me offshore fishing, and it wasn't the bite that was on. We definitely, it wasn't for lack of trying, because we went out there.
If we would have tried more spots, I mean, you know, Pickwick tournament coming up. So starting to, you know, a couple of them this year, but starting to spend some time up there. And the first offshore spot wasn't on, but we found some fish. I had like an 18 come off and that big, and caught some a 15 and some other.
I got a bunch of bites. It was just, they were not committing.
Yeah, it was okay. It was a good start, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're thinking about, you've only got a little bit longer to sign up for a Pickwick tournament on bass. I think the shutoff is the 8th, June 8th. So yeah, if you're into offshore fishing, but the good thing about Pickwick is it's so long and there's less scanty water. There's plenty of creeks to fish. There's plenty of grass coming up, submergent and emergent. So you can fish grass, you can fish rocks. I mean, whatever you're into, Pickwick's one of those places where you can just kind of do what you want to do. There's plenty of docks. And a lot of people are going to go out and fish the tail race behind the Wilson Dam. And there's a good chance that'll be a place that'll want, it'll be one, but you know, you're going to have to go up there and compete for fish, but it's a tail race on Tennessee River. There's always big fish up there.
So. Yeah. And it covers a lot of shoreline, dude. There's especially with them, like with our local trail, nobody ever really pushes the limit of going up where it tails off in Tennessee. You know, we keep it in our state. You know, with these two tournaments coming up, you can kind of do both. So a lot of water will get covered.
Bass, you can have a motor, so you'll be able to get up to the tail race. Hobie, that'd be a lot tougher.
Great news. I didn't melt my motor. It turned back on when I got home. So, woo!
Yeah. Cool. All right. So tonight, we besides talking about our little fishing adventure, we have the three winners from the Hobie BOS on, where was it? Lake Champlain?
Lake Champlain.
Yeah, Champlain, yeah. So
all I can think about, lakes. Champagne.
Yeah.
Popping bottles.
Yeah. Someplace I was bucket list lakes, and they got to fish it and did great, top three. So let's bring them on. First place, we have Travis Von Neumann.
Smalley's rule.
Yeah. Second place, Drew Gregory, as always. Dude's just an absolute, so consistent. And Catherine Fielder. Welcome to the show, everybody.
I'm happy for all y'all, but I'm more excited that Catherine got third place. I'm just going to throw it out there. I've been following Catherine for so long. It was so sick to see that.
Well, dude, listen, I'm equally as excited for Catherine getting third, but I'm most excited that I beat her by one spot since she challenged me on the happy birthday 600 episode. And she wanted to beat me. So that's where I'm excited that she motivated me hard enough to just barely get there.
Drew, I was close. I was one spot ahead of you on day two.
You were a quarter inch ahead of me on day two. And that is to be commended right there. But Travis got us all. And, it was all about him, man. And I'm really happy for him. He's a friend of mine I've known for a while. So congrats, Travis.
Hey, thanks, man.
There you go.
He smoked all of us.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
You was, correct me if I'm wrong, you were wire to wire winner, weren't you?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I tried to keep up with it, but I ADD out, so I kind of like forgot. But
well, for
every time I looked, you were there, so good job.
Well, we've had Catherine and Drew on show before, but Travis, we'll give you a chance. Tell everybody who you are and how you got into kayak fishing and what you do whenever you are fishing.
Okay. Yeah. I'm 29. I'm from Ohio, Dayton originally. I'm in Columbus right now. I started wading rivers when I was younger as a kid, got really into fishing, you know, in college with the Ohio University Fishing Club, where on a spring break trip, I actually discovered the River Bass and Tournament Trail. There was a tournament going on down in Florida on a spring break trip we took. And from there, I got really into tournament kayak fishing. That was really my intro into competitive fishing, was fishing the River Bass and Tournament Trail there from like 2015 to 2018. There was a 3-year stretch where I was in the top 10 in the River Basser of the Year standings at the end of the year. So I fished that trail really hard. So nice. Thanks to Drew. If it wasn't for Drew Gregory, I don't know if I would have found a tournament kayak fishing. That's really my pretty much all I've done fishing wise. I've done a KBF event like here and there since then, and this was my first Hobie event. It made it on my schedule because I was born in Plattsburgh, New York. So, kind of a destination. I actually did fish a college FLW tournament there as well. In terms of fishing, that's pretty much it. I work for the Ohio Department of Health here in Columbus. So
I'm going to say something right now because it got brought up in our the 600th episode on the birthday show. I feel like Ohio is like kind of under the radar with some kick ass anglers. Everybody talks about Texas and Florida and Tennessee, but the Ohio guys, especially this year, I feel like have just really showed out. Like, I didn't even realize you were from Ohio until just now, and it's just another name on the list, dude. Like, everybody needs to watch out.
And then Drew moved up there.
I moved right up there. I mean, think about it. Kurt Smits, Siddiqui, Matt Ball, me, Travis, Ken Moores, who I do, you know, hosts the podcast with me, Hooked on Wide Waters. Yeah, he's a good dude, and he won a tournament earlier this year, KBF tournament. I'm trying to think who else we're missing. Other people I know, so someone's gonna like.
And like Brian said in our episode, man, like with our trail series, the Ohio guys out of everybody have been following it the hardest. They bring like an army of guys, and they always show up and show out, man. And everybody knows the names you just said. You just don't think about where they're from. Everybody, like when you hear like Guillermo and the Texas anglers, or like Russ and the Tennessee guys, like you think about where they're from, but the Ohio thing just kind of slips under the radar. So I definitely don't think it will for much longer, though.
And you have pros from there too, the Shryox and who's the heavyset swim jig guy? He won an event earlier this year. Bill Lowen.
Yeah, that's true. Originally from Ohio, it's hard to remember who's originally from Ohio in the bass boat world because they've all moved somewhere else. Yeah. But Frank Scalish lives up here. He was a Bassmaster Elite Series pro for a while. And then there's somebody else too that was big. But anyway, there's definitely quite a few. But they tend to move if they actually go full time, actual pro. They tend to move, you know, out of Ohio. But yeah, lots of good ones.
Well, all right. Yeah, kind of what Travis said, and we've never really talked about this, but since he said that, you know, that you doing river bass, and I mean, you made it. You got him into the sport. I mean, you were one of the reasons for it. Whenever you look back, I mean, you're obviously one of the biggest names in sport, and you've been doing this for so long, and we're all grateful for the leaders, you know, you, Chad, and everybody else who's done so much for us. How do you feel about that? Like, you've been doing it, you know, you've had your own boat, you're kind of pushing the envelope of what a professional kayak angler can be, and thinking about it, and everything we hear you say about, you know, moving the sport forward. Whenever you look back on it, you've had your own show. You've done all these cool things. How do you feel about the sport, where it is, and how you've done, you know?
I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously that was my goal with River Bassin, to get people into the sport. And it's not really so much getting them into the sport. It's like, I think about it like this. I think about it like, what did it do to me when I found kayak fishing, to explore the wild places, you know, the rivers that, Travis and I love to fish, you know, the River Bassin style. It's literally saved my life from, you know, getting into who knows what I could have gotten into from the ages of like 18 to 35. When I met my wife, which by the way, the other day on the OG show, she actually did eventually say, you know what? I think you were right. It was 35, not 34. So anyway, but don't tell her I corrected you guys in the podcast, but she did admit that I was probably right. So anyway, from 18 to like 35, all I did was like, you just be obsessed with fishing and fishing rivers and kayaks, because I got into the kayak, which is the best tool for the river. So, I mean, who knows what else a single guy with, you know what I mean, nothing else going on would have done with his life. So it really helped me, you know, get focused in God's creation in the outdoors and just be grounded, and gave me something to do that had a lot of positive. As you guys know, the kayak fishing community is very positive vibes, and the river bassin guys are the same way. So all like-minded folks. So it just really was good for me. And I said to myself, how can I not share this? You know what I mean? If this can help others, how can I not share it? So I started that River Bassin Trail, and I just kind of pushed things. YouTube, did whatever I did, somehow ended up obviously with Jackson, and getting a signature series kayak and all that. I'm just happy that Travis and other people that did come into this from River Bassin and from an influence of mine. I'm just really cool that like, he's doing well now, and he's still into it, loves it. And, you know, and it's just cool that, man, it was really worth it, you know, because the hardest part about stopping running that trail was honestly just the award ceremony, being able to give somebody, put smiles on people's faces, memories in their lives. That was the hardest part about giving it up. Mm-hmm. So it's just cool that it just continues on. And on stage, RJ Hoover this past weekend talked about, you know, he gave thanks to Mike Iaconelli, who was there in the top 10% as well. And it just made me think. And then Travis gets up there and he's thanking me for, you know, starting that trail. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool that now I kind of see, like, in the perspective, because I can influence me too. You know what I mean? How many of us haven't been influenced by Mike Iaconelli, right? So it was really cool to hear people saying that about me, and that, you know, knowing people haven't forgotten about the River Basin Tournament Trail that did run for 10 years, that was the very first tournament trail to ever do live scoring, you know, with a phone. I mean, our first sponsor was Bass Pro Shops, and man, I could go on, but I want to make this more about Travis and Kate to have her time, but I could go on and on about how crazy it was and how I got that sponsorship and how hard I had to drive all the way to Alabama randomly and act like I was just passing through because the manager there wouldn't respond to my emails and I needed a fourth stop to like make the Southeast work with the Bass Pros. It was nuts. So just, I feel honored and just very proud that, you know, there's somewhat of a legacy starting to be visualized by me while I'm still on this earth that's influenced others, and just thank God for the opportunity that he's given me to be able to do that, man. I'm just a normal dude that loves fishing like everybody else. So
on your podcast sometime, you should, you know, if you don't listen to Hooked on Wild Waters podcast, you should, but you should do like find some people who have done great, like Travis, Lance, and so many others.
Tim Perkins.
Do like a reunion, River Basin reunion of people who have went on to great things and who've done great in kayak fishing since then.
Kid Morris, there you go. What do we get?
Yeah, good show.
That would be.
Cool. All right. So we'll get started with the tournament. We'll go back to a tournament now. One of y'all, whoever wants to do it, just kind of give a layout of Lake Champlain and kind of lay it out for everybody who hasn't been there like me.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
I vote Kate.
All right. Yeah, go Kate.
Lake Champlain is gigantic. if you've never been there, it's going to be several hours driving through very narrow two-lane roads through old towns. So it's actually very pretty scenic drive. Very historic area with a lot of history as far as, you know, the French and the British and the American history. So, but it's a north-south lake, this gigantic, and we could only launch from the New York side. Top part was very clear, smallmouth dominated. The bottom south part was muddier largemouth, and the middle is like some weird combination no man's land. How's that?
I like it. You had me at historical and pretty drive. It's mm-hmm. That's worth it. And smallmouth. I mean, you can't, you know, smallmouth rule.
And somewhere down deep in the very middle, there's this thing called Champ that just lives there. This monster called Champ that everybody is, it's like the Loch Ness monster that everyone is obsessed with. And
I saw some champy floats.
Yeah.
And things. I guess there's a champy parade or something like that. So
yeah.
I have a champy's chicken place here.
It's Kate. Kate, I was watching your YouTube video earlier, and when you had that drum hooked, I was joking around saying, I was like, I think she's got champy hooked right now.
I kept guessing what it was. I was like, it's a muskie. It's a salmon. It's a, you know, it's a laker. I don't know what the heck
this is. It's the Loch Ness monster.
It could have been. It could have been. That could have been the second one I caught, but that was massive.
That's awesome.
Cool. So now we'll roll into practice. Travis, did you get to practice? How'd it go for you?
Yeah, I practiced for, it was probably like 3 hours on Friday. Like I said, I did fish Champlain in a college FLW tournament. Back in like 2012, 2011, somewhere around there. So I had an area that I knew had a lot of smallmouth. I didn't catch any big ones during that college trail. It was just a lot of like 2.5 pounders. It was, you know, that was a basketball tournament, so it was by weight, but there were a ton of them there. So I just went back and I figured since I'm a better fisherman now, I would just go back to that same area and see if there's some bigger ones. And I didn't factor in what the wind was going to be doing. I didn't really look at any of that till I got there, and I realized there was like 3-4 foot waves. So it was, it was a battle. I struggled pre-fishing, and when I was pretty much about to call it quits and go look at rivers and do the river bassing thing, I was just dragging a finesse jig, on some rocks and hooked up, caught a 19¾, and just decided to put all my eggs into that basket and hope that that fish wasn't lying to me, and that there were more there. And then sure enough, the next morning there were a lot more there than I ever would have imagined. Yeah.
I love a finesse jig. We're going to get into that in a minute. I love a finesse jig. Well, Drew, I know that you got you some practice in, because me and you had a phone call during the week and you were down there running around like crazy. So tell us about it.
You made your whole family trip.
I did. Yeah, I had my in-laws there and my wife, Christina, my son, Theo. It was pretty cool because they've never been to a tournament, so it was really, really special to have them there. And it's just such a beautiful area and a destination. And so I thought, you know, my wife is pregnant. We're expecting with a little baby girl in December. So
congrats.
Yeah, man. She's doing good. She's doing a little bit better. She had a rough first trimester. We just entered the second and she's starting to feel a little bit better, but she still has her moments here where she's pretty nauseous. But anyway, it was my plan, strategic plan. I mean, obviously I love hanging out with my family and my in-laws are really cool. So I thought, well, I can only get away for so many tournaments this year, but if I bring them with me on one, that's almost like one that I don't have to be away for, right? So I'm like, hey, why don't we all go to Lake Champlain? It's going to be gorgeous. It's a bucket list. It's Adirondacks. And they were like, sounds great, you know, because my mother-in-law is a school teacher, so she's off of school. My father-in-law has his own company, so he was able to plan that time away. And they actually went on to Maine after that to take another week to do some vacation. So it worked out fantastic. So I got in probably about 2 days of pre-fishing. We got there late Monday night, so I had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but we did family stuff for probably 2 days total. And then had 2 days to pre-fish, and I said this on the awards stage, but basically I just drove around the whole lake and sampled just very bits and pieces. And it's like Kate said, you know, the south is murkier, you got the river coming in the south, it's all murkier, and you got a lot of grass, more largemouth. But you actually can catch a lot of smallmouth down there too, surprisingly. I caught a lot of smallies down there. And the word on the street is smallmouth have been sort of dominating throughout the whole lake more and more and more. Like, I don't think it's as 50-50 as it used to be. It's just that I think a lot of when you target largemouth, there's like certain areas like Ticonderoga and places, they're just loaded. So, anyway, you can catch a lot of them down south, surprisingly. But and then the mid lake, I've sampled little, you know, rivers and creeks all the way around and different spots of the lake. And like Travis said, I eventually decided to go for a spot that was a river that I caught a 19 pre-fishing and like a 17-ish fish. I caught two good ones and kind of left it alone. Then I went to like another river and caught a couple 17s, a little over 17-inch fish. And I said, well, I've got these two spots I can move during the day. And so that's kind of where I started, but that was my pre-fish. Just kind of sampled, you know, I did catch some largemouth down south as well. And so I'll talk about the tournament when it's tournament time, but that's pretty much it. Like I said on stage, it was like a buffet. I wanted to just take a little bit here and there from the buffet and then, you know, really go back hard when I find something that I really liked and was hoping that they weren't lying to me.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Catherine, how about you?
Oh, I sort of similar to those guys. I pre-fished, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I did a sample as well. I did not go south, really super south, like Ticonderoga, South Bay. I did not do that. I'm one of those weird people that wanted to do the middle of the lake. And I sampled some of the northern part a little bit, but I really liked the gin clear water, but I just didn't find the bite up there that I wanted. So what I did find was more of a mixed bag. And it was a big gamble because it was very much open lake, south facing. And what I usually look for in tournaments is I want something that gives me a bunch of different options, because it's, like I always say, it's always plan F that happens. So all my best laid plans never work out. So I like to have some backup plans so that the area that I decided to fish gave me some different possibilities in case what happened with the wind or the bite was different. But I had found some really good fish. I didn't really have like a spot, but a general area I'd found a lot of like 18 to 20s. And I thought this is going to put me in contention if I can reproduce that. And
I would love to have that problem. So many 18s and 20s.
We'll talk about the tournament, but that's sort of my that was my feeling on that. And I didn't have a lot of driving I was gonna have to do, and so that was it. And honestly, this also the pre-tournament, I actually took a day and rested on Friday. I didn't pre-fish at all before a tournament. I've been learning that I go too hard and that I don't have anything in the tank for a 2-day tournament, or, you know, I push myself. So I actually just on Friday, I rested and just planned my strategy and rigged up. And
you might have unlocked a little secret right there for yourself, that that day of rest and letting your spots rest. You might have just, y'all better watch out. She might have just dialed that last little piece in.
Yeah, I got a full day rest because, you know, I never sleep very well that night before, and I just took it easy and hydrated a lot and ate well and relaxed. So
that's the exact opposite of anything most of us do. We're drinking way too much, eating all the greasiness.
Yeah, and fishing until the last second of you know, and I didn't. And I've had that like sort of FOMO, like fear of missing out, like everybody's out thing, and I'm just like chilling and eating pie and listening to music.
It probably helped that you found some 18 to 20 inch fish on the earlier other days. It was easy to kind of just my light almost fell. Sorry, I caught my light just in time. But anyway, if you find fish like that, I mean, what else do you need, right? You might as well take a day off. And that's the way a lot of the big bass boat tours do anyway. They have a day off, which is smart. I love to do that if it's possible and I find enough, you know, good fish. That's the dream. So you were just living the dream there. You don't have a long drive. You get all that kinds of rest, good food. I mean, I'm jealous. You're probably, you know, taking a nice hot bath, eating bonbons, just taking it easy, resting the muscles. Sounds like my kind of a Friday right there.
Oh my lord!
what phase were they in? I know the Lake St. Clair guys right now. They're catching spawners. Were they still spawning there? Or post now?
Somewhere. I caught one off a bed.
Did you?
Yeah.
God, I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
What was the temperature like up there? Because it has been the number hasn't been high in Alabama, but the humidity here sucks so bad. It's been miserable. What kind of temperatures did y'all have?
70s maybe. It was overcast. It was kind of like cool. I know it rained, at least on me, Saturday for a good bit. Sunday was a little bit warmer. Sunday warmed up, was a little bit nicer. It was just really windy.
Most of the week was in the 70s during the pre-fishing, but then it was jealous. Like then on the tournament day it was like 80 that first day, and then 90, probably 90 something that or low 90s. But I mean, with that wind, I didn't feel too bad at all. It was great.
Okay, so now we'll roll into a tournament track, and I'll say the numbers here because they're pretty crazy. Day one, Travis, you had 97.25. You had the big bags both days. of the whole tournament, won it wire to wire. Man, that's amazing. The Matthew Zappala, he was in second with 96 and a quarter. Pat Viamont, I think that's how you say it, or Viamet, with 95 and a quarter. Drew, you were in fourth with 93 and three quarter. Ike was in 93. He was in fifth with 93 and three quarter. And Catherine, you had 91 and three quarter. So just 6 inches back, not too bad. I mean, I'm saying not too bad. That's great. 91 and three quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Day two, Travis, again, backed it up. Big bag at a tournament with 98 and three quarter. Catherine in second with 94. And Drew, you were in third. So y'all went 1, 2, 3. Day two, you had 93 and three quarter. And in total, Travis with 196. Just, you know, and killed everybody. I mean, I hate to say it, but. Nine ounces, you know.
Yep.
Gapped them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Drew with 175 and a half, and Catherine 185 and three quarter. Cody Milton, he's always up there. He was in fourth with 184 and a half, and Ewan Miner would in fifth with 182 and a quarter, and he's got to be leading, or he's got to be up there with AOY. He's had a great year too. So I think he finished in seventh. So it was.
What did you say I had? 180? Hang on. Actually, I've got something.
187 and a half.
Okay. Oh, 187 and a half. Okay. I thought you said 175. I was like, wait a second. I've got something I can pull up and show you guys if you want to see it. I got
that chart.
The chart link to weight. I put it in for you guys.
Yeah.
So cool. Let me pull it up.
And this is so cool. Like, I want to get this from you so we can talk about it.
Yeah. I'll get it to you guys for sure. Let me go click on share screen.
And I'm so glad Drew knows how to run this thing too.
Yeah. All right. Window. I think it's this one here. All right. Let's share it. Here we go. And now, audio listeners, we're going to explain this real quick. Do y'all have the screen up yet? You got it?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Let's actually go to. So on day one, Travis, like you said, had 97 and a quarter, and that is about 21 and a half pounds. But let me say this. I found a couple different charts on length to weight, and the chart that we're using to set this table is actually the lowest one I found. So that combined with the fact that these fish were gorged, mm-hmm. like this is just an average. This is like, you know, you can add a little bit of weight for pre-spawn and maybe take away a little bit for post. And Travis, you can tell me if this is true or not, but I'm pretty sure your fish were like gorging on those shad. They were fat. So I would say you had closer to 23 or 24 pounds, if I'm being honest, because
all of them were real healthy. Day two, I had a 19 and a half incher that was pathetic for a 19 and a half. He was the only one that probably wouldn't fit the chart, but they were all pretty good.
All right, so you did okay. So day one, you had 21.46 pounds technically, according to this chart, but I think that's probably a little bit on the low side, so maybe 23. I had 19.36. So I would say probably more like 20, maybe a little bit over. And then Kate, you had 18. So probably more like 19. So that was day one and day two. And part of the reason why we want to look at this too is because the Bassmaster Elite Series is going to be there next weekend, I believe. I think it's next weekend.
Do some comparing.
And Pickwick was the exact same way with KBF Pickwick event. When Ken Morris and I had 90, we tied with 98.75, and that's like 25 pounds or something. And then the guys that were winning on Pickwick on the Elite Series were getting around 22, 23, something like that. You know, I think maybe one or two people had 25 at the most. So that was just kind of cool to see. But anyway, day two here, you can see Travis at 98.75 inches was 22.59 pounds. So again, probably closer to 25. I had the same exact 93.75, but only 18.92, a little bit less, because you'll notice on the last, even though I had the exact same number both days, 93 and three quarters, they were different length fish to get there. So if you have a bigger fish, it actually, which I did on day one, and you know, I had a 20 and a half and a 20, it actually made my overall weight, even though I have the exact same length, a little bit more. So that's interesting to note too. Depends on which fish, you know. And then Kate, you had 19.15, so yeah, probably like 21 pounds, 20 and a half, something like that. So I mean, you do that 2 days in any bass boat tournament up there, and you're going to be you know,
money.
Yeah.
Close to the top. And then let's see if I have another. Okay. There's the totals right there. So that's 44 pounds, 44 pounds. We're probably looking at 47 or like something like that for Travis for 2 days, 38 for me, 38.28. So probably more like 40, and Kate probably similar, probably around 40. So
at Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love this. This can be used as a technical way to throw this in the boat guy's face and be like, hey, we're doing the same thing you are.
Yeah.
Because I can't stand when I hear them talk about, oh, they do the length. That doesn't change the fish. I mean, sometimes, you know, like you said, a 19 can suck sometimes. Mm-hmm. I caught a 20 last year that had a head of a 12, but was, I mean, he looked like he had hit a dock and just, and like, it was that thick, terrible fish. But no, this is really cool, man. I'd like to see more of this.
So, anytime you can catch, you know, 45 plus pounds in 2 days, you're making it happen.
Yeah,
hammering down.
I was watching like Brandon Palahniuk's like the series, his like YouTube video of when he won Champlain in 2020, and I think his big bag for that tournament was like 21 pounds. So. I was wondering what my weight would compare, but I watched that YouTube series probably like three times, just getting myself amped up last week.
We got to get, like, I'm sure you got plenty to do already, but it'd be cool to get that going for like a whole series and follow the elite of bass boat events, and then find a way to just get that posted nationally where like they can see it, we can see it, their sponsors see it, just be like, oh, these kayak guys are hammering it.
Well, you know, Dwayne was on y'all's show. Which show was he on? One of the
OG show.
He was on there, and he did mention that I have talked to him about this chart at the Bassmaster Classic, and I said, look, man, we got to get – you guys can do this. TourneyX can put it in under a column, under the standings, the normal leaderboard we see. There can be a column that says estimated weight, your approximate weight. And
that'd
it can sit there, and then everybody – because I've always said there's three things that – are holding kayak fishing back that we're not getting as into the mainstream world as much as we want because of these three things. And one of them is nobody in the bass fishing world knows what 97 inches means or 90 inches. They don't know how to equate that. They know what 20 pounds is. They know what 15 or 25 or dirty 30 is. They know all that. They don't have a clue what that is. So once they understand that and they see that, we're going to get some respect. And obviously we should get some respect. The fact that, you know, one of the best anglers on the planet is he fished two of the Hobies. And a lot of us have been fortunate to beat him, Mike Iaconelli. And that's, again, a big compliment to him and his career and what he's done. But, you know, he's not like he's just come in here and won every time. You know, he's gotten the money. And he's fished Champlain God knows how many times. And yeah. I fished it one time. I mean, this is my first time there. Kate, wasn't that your first time?
Yes.
So, and Travis had only been up there one other time. So, I mean, that's saying something. I know it's not, you know.
Oh, man.
You know.
To be able to sit back, like Kate and Drew, you know, and I mean, even you, Travis, like, I love Mike Iaconelli, and you can sit back and be like, I beat Iaconelli. Like, nothing else has to be said.
Yeah, because
it happened. It was the same tournament. Everybody was limited to the same things. Like,
twice.
Twice. 2 days in a row.
No, well, I mean, like, last year on the Susquehanna, too.
That's right.
0-2 against me. Now, again, the fact that we're talking about him, nothing but I love Mike Iaconelli. He's been an inspiration, and it's a huge compliment. The same way when I heard you, Kate, say you wanted to beat me and Ike, you were joking with me at the results saying, I hope you weren't offended. I was like, no, I was like, that's a compliment to hear someone say they want to come into tournament and all they want to do is beat Drew Gregory. That like means the world to me. You know what I mean? So I don't offend it. And I know he doesn't get offended, but it is. I was texting actually with Matt Airy. He's one of my friends on the Elite Series, and he almost won the Classic. And he just texted me and said, "Great job, man, on Champlain." He was really happy for me, and I said, "Yeah, man." But I was really stoked that I was able to, you know, beat Ike again. You know, it's two times, and I said, because you know now he's 0-2 against me, and so it's like I don't know. But anyway, it's just. the respect for kayak fishing will improve with that column, and people understand the weights we're doing, because I know they'll say, well, they can get into places we can't, but we also can't run to the other end of the lake if it's not happening like you can. So it honestly is pretty equal. You know what I mean? Their advantages versus ours. So that, plus the fact that we don't live stream yet. I mean, well, Paddle and Fin Trail does, but there's no live streaming, so people can't really see how incredible and athletic. And I mean, Travis, you're out there in these 3 and 4 foot waves. You flip twice. It's bananas what you did to catch those fish. And it was unbelievable. I bet you if somebody could have witnessed that on live stream, that would have just been the most exciting thing ever to watch. So
yeah, I need to hear these stories now. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you got to hear it. You got to hear it, which I'm sure we'll get to it. But and then once purses, the other third, just to finish my third thing, once we have $1,000 or $2,000 or $2,500 entry fees, our grand winnings is someone every weekend's winning, or every tournament is winning $75,000. When those three things happen, the mainstream world will start to turn their heads a little bit more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're coming. They're coming. At least that one length to weight column is coming, with Dwayne's going to try to get that in. So
one down.
Sweet.
Yeah, one down.
Cool. Well, Travis, we'll start with day one. Tell us how it went. Apparently it was
rough.
Yeah. Day one was rough. You know, I launched in the morning. There were like four other guys there in I'm pretty sure they were Hobies, but if not, they were all pedal drives. And one guy even, you know, he asked to exchange phone numbers with me because he thought I was crazy to be heading out there in a Kilroy. And I was worried they were all heading to pretty much where I was heading, but they all veered right and just hugged the bank essentially once we came out of a little creek where we launched. And they didn't want to cross the channel, cross the waves, which is what I knew I had to do to get to where I caught that one big fish pre-fishing. And once I got out there, they were on that finesse jig right away. I caught like a 17 incher very quickly. Then had like four short fish in a row. And then things started getting a little bit lighter. I was able to see a little bit more what was going on. It's maybe like 45 minutes into the tournament. And I start realizing that there's smallmouth like chasing bait fish and seagulls are starting to circle in the area I'm at. And it was like National Geographic. I started to be able to see smallmouth like cruising in like the crest of the wave. I would like, as a wave would roll, I'd be looking in there and you'd see a big old smallmouth in there just cruising across it. So I decided it was 7:25. I put on a topwater spook and they started hitting immediately. But it was really hard to work in those waves.
Yeah, spook on the big waves. That sounds crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty much just something that was shiny on top of the water, so they just hit it. I wasn't really working it that great. It was hard to in those waves. I wasn't really blocking it as well as it needed to, but I guess it didn't matter. But then I switched to a heavier topwater. I really like a whopper plopper, and I picked this up before I did like a fun trip to the Susquehanna. It's like the Berkeley Bucktooth Beaver.
Yeah.
I just thought it would be funny to catch big smallies on a beaver. And it's real heavy, and it's a little bit oversized to what the size whopper plopper I usually throw. But it was able to dig into those waves better, and they were eating it. They were all over it. It was just a big fish bait pretty much from then on until about 10, 11 o'clock. I was catching smallies in the 18 to 20 inch class, and I had to back off. I was like, I you know, now I'm catching 17s and 18s that I need to save for tomorrow. I just need to leave these fish alone and get out of there. And I pretty much called it a day almost. And I floated around. I actually set up a float trip. My girlfriend was there with me, so I launched at one boat ramp and took out at another. It was about a 5 mile float for me, and just went with the wind. And I tried to figure something else out for day two in case they weren't there, and I couldn't find anything else. So in terms of day two, it was just hoping that they were going to be there again.
I mean, the way you describe the fish and the waves, dude, that, like, I love surf fishing when I go down to the beach.
Yeah.
And I love throwing giant walking baits in the big waves. And like when you can catch the Spanish and stuff running down there, it's the same thing. You can see the wave come by and see them run through.
Yeah.
Dude, if I smallmouth like that, that is insane.
It was nuts. Pretty much whenever the seagulls would come and go, whenever they came, I knew it was time. Like I had a, you know, I had maybe a 20, 30 minute window where it was going to be nuts.
Exactly.
And yeah, you know, in the area I was fishing was really, the school was bigger than I could have imagined. Cause I would even like look out farther from where just I was able to cast. And like, you'd see smallmouth just roll. If you just stared in one spot long enough, you would see like a dorsal fin come up, or you'd see a smallmouth rolling out there.
Jesus.
Why that area? Was it just
pretty much the wind on the whole lake was pushing to this spot, this point.
And he was the only one crazy enough to go over there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was nuts. And you know, I mentioned I was in a Kilroy. Is it
paddle, right?
I love my Kilroy. It's great for rivers. It cuts through wind very well. It's very paddles very straight. But with those waves, I filled up with water like a lot, and it got me off balance. And if you get sideways in one of those waves, as you've got water in the bottom of your Kilroy, yeah. Both days I flipped because of that. But fortunately, the fish I was catching were in 3 feet of water. I didn't have a fish finder, but I screenshotted a topo map before I made the trip, and so I knew how deep the area I was fishing was. But yeah, 3 feet of water.
Dude, my man went in a like ocean situation in a sit-in kayak with no electronics and still kicked everybody's butt and fell out twice.
Yeah,
with a picture of a map.
With a picture of a map. He didn't even have an app. Like, dude.
Did you lose all your gear and just hold on to that one with the beaver and just be like, I got you, and bring
that up? Fortunately, yeah, I didn't lose everything. I broke one rod. At one point, I did cast the beaver off into like the abyss, just slinging it all day long, and it went flying. And I was just praying that a smallmouth wouldn't pick it up before I got over there to grab it and tie it back on.
Did the wave like bring it right back to you like it was meant to be?
Slowly, but no,
God was like here.
Yeah, yeah, I wasn't waiting. I pulled my anchor up and paddled straight after it as soon as it left, and I just kept my eyes on it because I needed that bait.
So here's a question.
Floppers, but yeah,
with the big check, are you gonna upgrade boats now? Like, obviously, keep the Kilroy for the river stuff, but is it time for a big pedal boat?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I really prefer river stuff. To be honest, that's what I like to do. I'm not a lake fisherman at all. I don't know how to fish lakes. I treated this one as a big, that wind just created it. It was just one big rapid. I was just fishing a big rapid all day long.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
How can you beat that? Like, no, I mean, this is one of those things where it was meant to be, you know. Y'all had a great tournament, but man, this man, it was meant to happen.
Dude, absolutely. All I can think about when Travis is telling me this story with this, he's telling me this at the results show. He's throwing this beaver out there in a big school of like bait fish with seagulls, and he's throwing a mammal. And I'm like, and I understand how aggressive they were. They would have hit anything, right? But I'm laughing as you're telling this National Geographic version, because all I can think about is when they're dragging that seal for the great white sharks, you know, in those shows, and they come up and they pull out of the water. Yeah, so the great whites are the smallmouth, and you're throwing the seal that's surfing the waves, a little mammal, and the smallmouth are just these great white sharks just blasting it out of the water. That's just
that is awesome.
That's so cool, man. Yeah. But yeah, no, I do 93 and 3/4, 2 days in a row. I would have taken that, you know, before the tournament. In a heartbeat, and I would have thought I would have won. You know what I mean? So the fact that, you know, Kate, you and I mean, anyone below us, we definitely did not lose this event. We definitely just got beat. You know what I mean? So that's the way I would like to lose. You know, kind of like out there in Texas in Possum Kingdom when those guys just crushed it. We just got beat. We didn't lose, but we still obviously all won. So
it was another one that was just meant to be. So, Drew, tell us about your day, man.
Well, I went back to the river area where I caught the 19, and it was the water was very low in all the rivers and creeks. So I wasn't really sure how many smallmouth they would hold, you know what I mean? Because you can stand and see them in pre-fishing, and you kind of know what's there, how many are there. So I knew this area may not have that many fish, wasn't that big, and but I had the other backup area that was nearby, another river that had some nice ones I caught in it. But I never expected to catch, like, any like 20 plus inches in there. I never expected. I just assumed these fish are there still holding over from the spawn. I never saw any fish spawning in pre-fishing. But obviously, like I said earlier during the tournament, I did catch one off a bed that I saw. So I went to the place where I caught the biggest smallmouth pre-fishing with the plan that I'm going to get hit these two rivers up kind of north first. And then I have some really good largemouth stuff down south. And I know this sounds crazy, but I fished the rivers up north, and I was like, all right, I fished them.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
I'm done here. There just can't be any more fish here. And then I cranked up the Tacoma outboard and drove an hour and 40 minutes south.
Wow.
During the tournament. Yeah.
And it was like a Sabine run.
A long Sabine run. It was. But it was actually really nice and relaxing because you're in the AC. I'm eating some food, drinking, getting, you know, refreshed, checking the leaderboard, just kind of seeing what's going on. You know, just no big deal because I already had a good limit already because I caught a 20 and a half. And which, again, I'm just shocked that these size fish were in there. A 20 and a half, I caught a 20 and some, you know, 18 somethings, right? So I'm looking pretty good. I only had a small, like 15 and maybe a 15 and three quarters, 16, somewhere, something like that. 15 and a half, I think. I need to get rid of that one. And unfortunately, I was able to upgrade, but it was only 16 and a quarter. So that was really where I was like, man, if I could have just gotten one more good one on day one, I could have been in the hunt, but it ended up not mattering because, you know, I never would have had enough to beat Travis anyway. So, but that was day one. And then day two, after I saw what happened in the rivers up north there, I said, well, I'm going to start there. I just don't know what else honestly is left. So I'm going to just go practicing, just pre-fishing, just based on what I know now that I fished hard right in this area and what I've learned, I'm going to hopefully milk this area for the most I can. And I got so fortunate because I got there and I'd never been this particular, I actually reversed the rivers. I went to the one I went second, I went first, right? So it was never there in the morning like this. So I went there and all of a sudden out kind of in the middle in a deeper area, that's just kind of big and deep and a sandbar on one side, a bunch of big boulders on the other side. I was fishing along the boulders. And I'm not getting a bite. And I'm thinking, this is not good. This is right where they should be, deep water on these humongous boulders. And then all of a sudden, out in the middle, I see bait just getting crushed and smallmouth just going. And so I'm like, paddle, paddle, paddle. And I get close enough and I throw the whopper plopper. I throw whopper plopper over there and it's like, gush, gush. They're just smashing it and missing it. And finally, one hooks up with it. And I'm fighting the fish in for maybe 30 seconds. It gets 30 feet from the boat and it comes off. It spits the whopper plopper out and it lands about 15 feet from the kayak. And I throw my head back. I'm like, oh, and then I just grab the reel to wind again. And I never heard a splash. I never heard a crush or anything. And I just had another smallmouth on. It was just on a whopper plopper. I think what happened is when this whopper plopper fell out of the fish's mouth, and this happened to me at Dardanelle, which is crazy. This happened twice.
Yeah.
So this, and it happened 15 feet from the kayak. So the whopper plopper flies out of the smallmouth's mouth. It's like an 18 inch smallmouth. And it lands in the water. And I think what happens is, you know, when a topwater lands in the water, it goes under first a little bit. Because I never heard or saw any other splash, you know, the strike. It was just on. Like, it went down under the water, and it would just, I guess it was following the other fish, right? There was a school of them. It was trying to steal that bait out of its mouth. And it was just on, and it was like a bigger one. It was like an 18-something. So somehow I got one bonus fish, and as I'm taking the pictures of that one, that takes a little time, right? You got to go over there and kind of get on the bank and do the pictures. Behind me, they start busting again. So I'm like, I throw this one back real fast, paddle over there. And instead of a whopper plopper, I decided if they're going to eat something that close to my kayak, when they followed this other fish around and he spits the whopper plopper, it lands 15 feet and a bigger one eats it. I'm not going to throw the whopper plopper because they're going to eat anything. So I had a chatterbait on, and that's a much better, you know, strike to landing percentage. So instead, I throw the chatterbait over there, crank, crank, crank. She hammers it, and it's like another 18 something. So I've got two bonus fish that didn't come out of my typical, you know, kind of deeper holes, little pools, if you will, where I was catching the smallmouth. So I'm like, this is good. You know, I never thought I would have such a head start. And then I actually went out towards the mouth of this river in the lake where I caught a fish in the sort of the shoal, the sandy sort of shoal where it just deltas and spits out. And I remember Travis, we had even texted after the first day, and he made some random text back to me. He goes, because I was telling him congrats, and he was saying congrats to me. And he goes, dude, I never knew you could throw topwater in 3-4 foot rollers. So when I get out to the mouth of this, you know, creek, I caught one on this river, whatever. I caught a fish on a spinnerbait the other day in this one little spot. And I said, man, this whopper plopper's on. Let me just throw it. Travis was catching them in some big waves on top. So I throw it, and then it gets smashed. And then it was a small one. And then I threw it again, and I got crushed by like an 18 and something. So now I've got 3 bonus fish that I never expected, because I sort of expanded on my area, and I have not fished the areas where I caught some good ones the day before. So now I'm like, if I can just get one more good one out of this first stop, I'll be feeling really good. And then I ended up catching one off a bed that I saw when I paddled by, and it was kind of cloudy, but I just noticed, a glance down, I saw a bed by a log, and there was a big smallmouth kind of swam away. And I said, I bet you that fish was on that bed. Okay. So I went back and tied on a TRD crawls on a Z-Man cross-size power finesse jig. You know, sure enough, I was fortunate. I was able to see the bed, and cause it was so glary out there at that time. It wasn't sunny, and didn't have a power pole, cause it's the Crescent CK1 Venture I was in. I don't have like a adapter for it yet to have a power pole. And I didn't have a motor. Obviously this is a Hobie event. I didn't have even my Anchor Wizard on, cause I didn't really need it for this river. It wasn't like you needed it. So I had no tools like that. I just wanted a light throw and go kayak. So I just had to like continue to like find it and paddle and get blown by the wind. And man, once I got it in the bed though, the actual time, it's like a, you know, 3-4 foot deep. I mean, the fish all of a sudden was just on. I didn't really feel a thump or bite. It was just on. And I'm like, holy cow. And so then I've caught 4 fish in areas that I didn't catch them the day before, didn't expect, which was just blowing me away. Cause I told AJ the day before, I said, dude, I don't think I can get 93 3/4 out of this spot again. It's just, it's shot. And it just goes to show you, man, you can just continue. And on stage, I made the analogy. It's like, I just opened up the cupboard, opened up the fridge. We don't have anything to eat. There's like hardly anything there, but somehow my wife's always like, dude, you're just so good. Like you'll find this, this, and this, and you whip something up and it's amazing. Somehow I just sort of like, I caught the 2 schooling, caught the one at the mouth, caught the one off the bed, and then went back to my spot where I knew there was probably going to be at least one good one in those couple spots. And I caught one of my bigger fish, my 19 inchers off a spinner bait. And then I lost another really big one as well, but I already had 5 that were over, you know, like 18 inches. So, and then I just burned that place down. So I went to my other area, my other river that I wanted to fish, and I'd caught some decent ones, and ended up upgrading like an 18 and a half over there on a whopper popper too. And I caught an 18 over there. So I actually upgraded twice. Cause I think actually my smallest was 17 3/4. So I upgraded twice over there, and it just blew me away. But yeah, it was nuts, man. Nuts event. And I was just happy to see, you know, Travis do so well. I was so happy for him, even though, you know, I thought that what I did should have won the event. I thought for sure, if, you know, you give me that choice, I would have taken it and thought I would have won, but couldn't have been beat by a better dude. So happy about that.
Cool. Hey, I'll tell you what, y'all are making me want to go up there and fish for sure.
Yeah. Salivating, man.
Catherine, tell me about your days, both of them.
I'm sorry excited for this.
We're holding you up so long. The show's so good.
No, I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys. So it's fine. Day one, well, like I said, I didn't really have like a spot. I had developed a pattern in pre-fishing, and I was able to reproduce that on both sides of the river for miles. I had 2 patterns. One was really, really for weeds at a certain depth. And I used, I call it the Kate rig. It's like, I take a giant TRD and backwards Texas rig it and put a butt spinner on it and just try to have a real vertical, smooth presentation. Cause it was, you know, these vertical stalks of weeds that that I had found some really big largemouth in, and it was very murky water.
That's a really interesting rig. It's like the big tiny child rig with a spinner on the bottom. That's
cool. Yeah, maybe sort of. But I started using that. I used like the made it sort of a, I used like the deal, the Z-Man deal, big giant TRD. So
I got that in my boat.
Yeah. With a silver willow blade butt spinner. So it really gave it like a minnow like action, but a drop. And so I would pop that and it just, you know, pop over each weed. And I just keep tossing and just keep tossing. But day one, I went to an area that I had caught some fish in, some really large fish, some 20s. But I could not find the big fish. I got a bunch of 16s in there, but I did get a limit. And as the wind started to pick up, I just started feeling uncomfortable because it was where I was, you could see it just went straight south looking. So it was, I just didn't want to be out there too much. And like I said, I'd like to have some options. My other pattern was using a Okashira screw head with a spark shad, and it was wind dependent. So once that wind came up, I was fishing a bridge abutment, and you guys will see that in my video. There's some pretty special things about that bridge. But it wasn't the kind of thing where there was always fish on it. The fish are coming and going in that. So you just have to keep constantly casting, and you got to stay in a certain position on that bridge. But the wind was really, if you didn't have the wind, you didn't have the bite. So that was sort of like great thing when I felt that it was a little too dangerous to be out there, that I didn't want to be out in that. So I went and worked that. And that's where I was able to upgrade on day one. That bridge had both largemouth and smallmouth. And I've got, I got a 20 incher, so I think some 19s and stuff off that for day one. And giant drum. It was it was really the best day of fishing that I had experienced in a tournament. And I just was laughing and having a blast. Like, it was just like the most fun. It didn't even feel like a tournament. I just was like, I couldn't believe how much fun it was.
I saw your post at like that, you know, I was keeping up with everything, and I saw your post, and you're like, you know, the best day I've ever had in a tournament, got to capitalize on it. And like, I was already pulling for you, 'cause we always pull for you. But like, I was like, dude, I hope to God, like everything. And then I didn't even get to see the results before they got pulled down, and Susie Roloff, she busted into the paddle and fin chat. Kate got third. No, it was, we were all hyped for you.
Oh yeah, that was it. But day two was harder. I went back sort of the similar area. The first hour I couldn't get a bite at all, and the wind was starting to come up, and I just said, I'm out of here. I know I've got, with the wind, I've got a bite that the wind is going to really help me. And as much as I like to move around, but it was hard for me to sit in that one spot on that bridge all day and just keep casting. And it was a lot of work because that was like a washing machine, like everybody's in, and you got to stay in position to not just keep stuff in the strike zone for those fish, but to land them, because there's zebra mussels everywhere on that thing. And you get out of position and you're going to lose your fish really quick. But I got some really nice smallmouth, and they were just chunky fat. I mean, one of them, I swear to God, I could see like perch or something. Like, it was just, I don't think it,
like bulging out of it.
Yeah. Like, it was okay. Just like its stomach was just swollen with so much. And I thought, like, God, this fish has got an eating disorder, because
yeah,
like, it couldn't and that's have like me after the sizzler.
It couldn't, yeah. It could not have fit another fish in there. And it just saw my little bait and just, you know, my theory is that they're really mean and they look at my innocent little thing and just say, I have to kill you. And so,
yeah.
So
it, smallmouth, like I throw, not with a spark shed. I experimented with the Okeechobee screw lock this year in a river for smallmouth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're always throwing swim jigs and flukes and like decent profile stuff for them. And listening to people that fish up north using the small stuff, I was like, well, I got to try it. And I threw a little 2.7 or whatever Kytec on that little thing. And like they hit it like it owes them money. Oh. And it is crazy. Yeah.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
They want to kill it more than anything. It's like popcorn shrimp that they just want to destroy. And, yep. And you know, I've had friends who's...
I can associate with that.
Yeah.
So I have friends who always say, you can't throw that small stuff. You're not going to be able to keep a big fish on there. You got to throw these big 5 and 6 inch things to get big fish. And you need really heavy line. And I'm telling you what, like I fought probably a 35 pound drum on 20 pound braid. And, you know, I did upgrade the second day to 12 pound leader after that drum, but 10 pound leader on a 7 foot medium fast spinning rod. And
I bet you thought you had a freaking like world record. Like
I thought so. Champion. You look at that video, I won't believe how big that dang thing is. But you can catch really big fish on really tiny things because they just want to kill it more than anything. And it's an easy meal. So that's one of my favorite things to throw. And I've been spending a lot of time with that. I've caught really amazing fish on really tiny things. So I'm a big advocate for, you know, smaller works just fine. It's just, you have to be confident in what you're doing.
Sorry. And patient, you know, the lighter stuff, like it does work, but it does. I mean, you're going to lose a few of them. You know, there's going to be some retying going on for sure.
Yeah. And that bite was really, really dependent. Both my bites were really dependent on depth. Like these guys were doing top water and things like that. I tried to get a top water bite, but it just wasn't there. But they were really using the depth and the abutments to really push the bait in the current and stun them and destroy little tiny fish. So, you know, the depth is what mattered and the position is what mattered. Cause I saw bass boats come and go all day and they were fishing completely the wrong side. And those smallmouth were so keyed on to the direction of the wind and how it contoured with the structure and the depth that it's, if you could get it right in there, you were going to catch just monster fish.
I wonder if you were on an alwife spawn because they were spawning. There was still some alwife spawn going on. You know, the one that was really fat, you could have been on that maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I have never seen an alwife in my life, so I don't know. So.
Yeah. They're like a herring. They're one of like, they're a herring species, I believe. But they're spawning still. So you could have been, because they spawn like shad do. They're always on something. You know what I mean? Shad will spawn on the docks, dock posts or bridge or whatever, marinas on stuff. So if you were saying there was some structure there, I bet you there was some spawning going on right there by alwives. Cause you're also saying you're catching these gorged out, you know, fish. Yeah,
they were gorged.
So but I don't know.
Who knows? I was convinced that they were keyed. Okay. So this bridge had like a loose piece of metal. And when the wind and waves were just rocking, that thing would like clang. And I called it the dinner bell. So the minute I started, because it was like the buffet had started. So like, you know, things would die down when the wind would die down. And the minute I'd be like messing around. And the minute I heard the dinner bell ring, I just started tossing, you know, and it's like, I swear to God, they were like keyed in. Like the minute they heard the dinner bell, like they were like, all the smallies would start showing up for dinner and just destroy the heck out of it. So.
I've been doing this show for 3 years, and I don't think I've ever heard any three anglers more dialed in to a bite. And
it was three different. I mean, topwater was a thing, but three different things. Like you said it, Dan, like it's just your day some days. I mean, not taking anything away from y'all. Y'all all prepared in your own ways and y'all are, you know, perfecting your craft. But like it was meant for Travis to straight murder him.
Yep.
Drew was just catching him in random places in his spot that he wasn't ready for. Catherine's got a bell ringing on a bridge, just whacking him. This is awesome.
No, it was cool, man. Honestly, this is probably the event I've been most proud about because I actually just fished the moment. You know what I mean? I just didn't think I was going to be able to get anything close to what I did that second day. And I'm just proud that I fished the moment, made all the right decisions, and it just happened to work. And then I had to execute. You know, I only lost one that, you know, really big one that probably could have helped, but it wouldn't have mattered. So I don't know. I think people, people probably just look and they're like, oh, Drew, he's always in the top 10 or always this. He just expects it or whatever. Dude, I was this close because my better spot I thought was down south with the largemouth I'd found down in that murky water. And I was this close to never going up north to hit those smallmouth because I had an hour and 40 minute drive on day one to go down south to get the largemouth. So so I just said, you know, it's the only place, even though it's small, it's the only place I caught my biggest fish there. I got to go try it first. And then if it's not happening, then I can always move south. And it turns out I never went south again after that first day because I didn't need to want to. And just imagine if I would have gone south first, because I fished south for three and a half hours on day one. I only caught a 16 and a quarter that barely, you know, upgraded me a little bit. And I caught 30 was down there. So imagine if I would have gone down there first, you're catching numbers like that. I would have never left. Could have gotten like a 17 or some 16s. My stringer would have been like, you know, 80 inches and I'd been sitting in whatever. Like that's how close I was to not ending up second, but ending up like 27.
One behind me, yeah. Drew.
I would have been behind Kate. So it's not as easy as it just looks on Tourney X when you see those fish just popping up and then you see the standings and you're like, oh, Drew's up there. I'm telling you guys who are listening, you're so much closer than you realize to having those days and those just moments, because it's not easy, man. Fishing's not easy, even for those that somehow we end up at the top often. It's stressful and it's not easy, man. But anyway.
Well, Travis.
That's why we talk about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Big bag of the tournament. You come back with that naughty beaver bite another day?
Yeah, that's all I did day two. It was pretty simple. Went out through the beaver right away. By 7:30, I had six fish over 19, with that 21 and a quarter. And I was out of the water by 11. I took my girlfriend with me for the trip. I was bummed because the area I was fishing was so rough. She couldn't take her paddleboard. She loves the paddleboard. She couldn't take that out there and like hang out with me.
She could have surfed.
Yeah. hanging out with me, watching me wreck, you know, these smallmouth, but I loaded up at 11 with her. We went and found a bay that was a lot calmer and just hung out, watched the results come in. We celebrated a little bit when we saw Drew swoop into second place. I was still casting, you know, around trying to see if I could make something crazy happen. But
you did enough, sir. You did enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be, but I was like, it's going to be tough to catch me, you know, at this point. You know, somebody could have, you know, the guy right behind me from day one, if he caught 100 inches, which is definitely doable, he could have done it, but it was just meant to happen. And I just had this feeling all week that this was going to happen. I don't know why. I lost four fish that probably were over 20 inches, this tournament, and it didn't even faze me because I was just like, I just got to just get casted out there again. There's another one.
Keep grinding.
There were so many fish in there.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit bummed because it was probably, I don't know if I'm ever going to have an opportunity like that again to break 100 inches in a day. And I fell short of that. But, you know,
you will.
Don't dwell on that, man. You had an unbelievable tournament.
The only thing I think you should have done different is that when you got out, y'all went and moved to the comm bay, man, you should have ordered pizza. Had it delivered over there.
Yep.
That's the thing, man. Like when you got it and you just cut out early, order pizza.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Drew mentioned something that I think I should have done. You know, is he decided to go after a fish not with the whopper plopper because you know, he's got a better hookup ratio on that chatterbait. You're not going to lose them as much. So I think that's something maybe I probably could have done, but. Dude, it's a beaver. It's hilarious to sit there.
Yeah.
And topwater is king.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I bet you they probably would have bit almost anything with the way those fish were. So, yeah, you might could have tried a big single hook bait. And then you could have horsed them in a little bit. Because, you know, those topwaters for those trebles, I'm so nervous. I take my time so much. And it takes forever. But once I got them on chatterbait, largemouth or smallmouth, it's like they're coming right in, man. Like 30-pound braid. I don't really mess around with them. So
Travis, one question on the beaver. I know what bait you're talking about. Do you have, or did you see that they also have that bait in a wake version? That's not a plopper.
I did see it and I like stared at them both for a while. Like, okay, which one do I want to get?
Both.
Yeah. I'm going to get the other, go back and get the wake bait as well. Yeah. It looks sweet.
That's awesome. I literally just heard about that bait like 3 days ago, I think, watching one of Christine's videos.
Yeah.
Because I thought she was making like a joke. Mm-hmm. And so I just Googled it and was like, holy shit, that's actually something. And now you're like, yo, that was my day. So that's awesome.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's getting late. We've held y'all up. I know y'all might be on East Coast time too, but I know Catherine is for sure. So thank y'all for staying up with us.
We appreciate it. This is a good show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But before we let you go, we always want to give you a chance to shout out anybody that makes fishing easier for you. Catherine, we'll start with you. How's that Hobie going from the native from Ship Happens to the Hobie? Are you loving it?
I love the Hobie, and it's I don't miss pulling weeds out of the Propel Drive at all, but I love the fins. It's been a real good boat for me and very stable. I spend a lot more time standing up and moving around than I was able to before, and it's a lot faster. So I'm having a good time with that, and you know, I just want to say thanks to Hobie. I love the Hobie Bass Open Series. It's so much fun and just a chance to compete against just amazing anglers on an amazing fishery and challenge myself. And it's just everything about it makes it special. So they do such a great job. And I just want to say that.
Armando does too, Drew, if you didn't know that.
What's that? What was that?
Armando does too.
Oh, yeah.
It was another podcast where we were talking about.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Catherine, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I missed what you said. So anyways, so Hobie and, I'd like to just say thanks to them and Omnia Fishing. I'm an ambassador for them and I just really enjoy working with them. They're really good with their customer service and their approach to sort of fishing by lakes. Super helpful when you're going to places you've never been and you're trying to figure out how to approach and break it down. So I just feel just blessed with all of this, man. Like I've had like the best time fishing. Like like it's ridiculous. By day two, man, I was like singing songs and catching fish. And I mean there's just like no better way to do a tournament. It's just having a good time and I'm just so very thankful to just be able to do this right now. Like just, and thank you guys for having me on to chat. I love chat and with these guys and it's a dream come true. And congratulations, Drew, for beating me.
Hey,
and Travis. Just... I'm going to keep working on this goal, Drew. So
yeah, there you go.
What's your go-to song out in the water? Is it like an old sea shanty, or is it like,
like she's out there singing Tupac, like man?
Katy Perry War, or, yeah.
It's Here for a Good Time by George Strait.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. I like it.
That's good.
All right, Drew, how about you, man?
Well, you know, I never would have dreamt when Kate said that her goal was to beat myself and Iaconelli that I would had to get second place to accomplish that. So, I mean, big congrats to Kate on that. That's amazing. And, you know, I can't believe I ended up here as well. So, but by the way, I agree with Armando, no doubt about it. Hobie is the best. I mean, we were playing devil's advocate with him, but it's the most well-run. You know, they have it dialed. I mean, it really is. It's an incredible trip. Not that the other ones aren't like really that far behind. And I don't fish tournaments because of some little minor reasons. One trail might be doing something a little bit smoother, better than the other. I just fish them because I love fishing and the locations and the payouts and the camaraderie with the people. So they're all doing a great job. But anyway, I agree. Because here's a good example. I got out of 73 anglers that ended up in this event, which is the lowest attendance, I think, for Hobie BOS this year. I'm shocked because Champlain's like a destination. How in the world were more people not here trying to beat the heat down south? I don't know what happened, but because that place is amazing. I mean, you see it on Bassmaster Elite Series. I'm shocked. But either way, 73 anglers. I got second place and won $2,450, I think, $2,500 basically. Okay. And the entry fee was what, $250 or $260, something like that. Now at the Bass Championship in, you know, Texas, I ended up in fourth place out of 150 with a $400 entry in a championship on the Bassmaster Classic stage, and won $2,000. So it's not too. So Armando's right. I mean, it's definitely you know, would like to see some changes over there, but they paid out 30 places and Hobie pays out 10%, whatever. That's, again, we'll get to that more on the OG show and other arguments with everybody, but
tune in for part three.
Yeah, part three. round three. But anyway, the Hobie Bass Open Series is awesome. Like Kate said, they do a great job, and AJ and Steve, and I mean, they're doing it right. If you're going to do something, my dad always said, right, if you're going to do something, you know, do it right, Drew. Hobie is doing the series, and they're doing it right. So they're following that you know, mantra. And I'm appreciative of that. I know all the anglers are as well. They're as consistent as can be. You get texts from AJ the second he's got, you know, he judges your fish, and there's a crack this big in your mouth, and you didn't even see it. And he texted me, and I'm like, yeah, I got another photo. I'll send it to you. It's unreal how like on things they are. So I do appreciate that. I want to thank them for all their hard work. And then for me, you know, like obviously I've got a lot of sponsors and been fortunate to in the industry to have a lot of partners and a lot of support, but I just want to thank, you know, Crescent Kayaks. A lot of you guys out there know I've got a new model coming out here pretty soon. It's getting closer. So it's happening. Trust me. It's happening probably a couple, 2-3 months here. But it's happening, and so be on the lookout for that. And then Realtree Fishing is like my main headline sponsor in the fishing world, so I really appreciate them and all their support. And then Z-Man Lures, I always want to thank them as well. But on this trip, seriously, that Bending Branches paddle, the Yak Attack accessories, all that was like really, really critical as well. So in my 13 fishing rods and reels in the Cortland line worked amazing. So that's all I'll say for now. If you guys want to follow along with Drew Gregory Fishing, I try to do the best I can on social media and keep folks up to date on these tournaments and other photos and videos and just fun stuff. So yeah, that's pretty much it. And just obviously thanks to my family for being there with me and having them at the results was super special. I'll never forget Lake Champlain. It's always going to have a special place in my heart, even though it wasn't, you know, a first place finish, but man, you know, like I said, having Travis win and, you know, me help have being a part to help him continue to fish or that inspiring him or whatever, that feels like a win as well. So pretty cool, man.
And Kate, people can follow you on YouTube. Is it Kate Fishing?
Yeah, it's Kate Fishing, and I could use some subscribers, so
shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
Go follow her stuff. Her videos are great.
I released the day one of the Lake Champlain tournament today, and I'm going to try and get day two out tomorrow. So, ta-da. It's nice. A lot of work.
I'm going to go subscribe right now. I need to do that.
All right. I appreciate that, guys. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
How about you, man?
I don't have any sponsors, so you know.
Who makes that beaver?
You need to holler at your boy Berkeley.
I need to go give Berkeley. Yeah. Be like, hey man, people are buying this beaver up because of me. I keep talking about it. So
yeah, and Jackson, folks at Jackson, your boy is taking that boat out there and flipping it and still cashing checks. Give him a holler.
Yeah, I was on their regional fishing team for a couple years. I didn't feel like I was really doing my end of the deal there very well. So I once the River Brassen Trail ended, you know, I guess I was kind of lost for a little bit. I didn't really know what to do after that. So I didn't feel like I was really fishing as much to really, really stay on the regional team there. But anyways, yeah, maybe I'll reach back out to Jackson.
Yeah, they may reach out to you, sir. Yeah. They might reach out to you.
Maybe. But no, I'll just thank all my friends and family. I got a lot of support, from friends, family, other fishermen out there. Definitely thank Drew and Kate for pushing me, you know, this weekend. You know, I was watching the board below and, you know, they're coming, they're all coming after. So congrats to you guys and thanks for the opportunity to come on here and talk about it.
Yeah, man. I'm sorry I had to keep you from your beer league volleyball.
Oh, no.
The stories were worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, thank y'all. Y'all have a good night. And I guess everybody's Kate's going to make AOYTOC. Drew's, you're already in it. And Travis, is everybody fishing at TOC then?
Yeah. I got qualified, so.
That's right.
I'm gunning for the AOY now.
Uh-oh, watch out. Watch out, Ewing.
Don't need to pull this.
Watch out, Ewing. I'm joking, man. I'm joking.
He had to get up. He's on the hot seat now.
Is this what you're looking for, Kate? Not going to give it up easy.
I know.
Two hands. Tiki Barber, remember? Two hands.
I know.
When he had his fumbling problems.
Drew, girls got to have some dreams, you know.
I know. Hey, we'll see.
I think you're more than capable. I think you're definitely capable. I would love to see it happen and just have you two back on the show.
I'm thinking I might be able to break in the top 10 if they adjust it. I'm going to be close, so we'll see.
We'll see. This was my third. I've got a fourth and now a second, and then I had a bad 46th event. And
yeah, I better kick it up a notch.
You did get second on the KBF on Pickwick earlier this year, so you might do all right on Pickwick for the Hobie.
I don't think I'm gonna do Pickwick on the Hobie. I might, we'll see. But
I'll see you at Pickwick.
It depends. It all is gonna depend on how I do on the Susquehanna and lacrosse, because if I have a good finish, I don't. You know what I mean? Like, it's all coming down to the TOC, because I'll tell you how it's going to play out right now. We're going to have probably last year really was only like a few people that had a chance to really win the AOI. It was like Russ, Jody, myself, maybe, can't remember who was below me, but it was really, really just us three that really probably had a good shot at it. The odds were heavily in one of us three's favors, but this year it's totally different. There's going to be about 8 to 10 people who are have pretty much almost this very similar scores. You know what I'm saying? Most likely the way it's playing out, it's going to be. So it's really going to come down to whoever just finishes highest at the TOC is going to win it. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I fished the BASS Eufaula event earlier this year. So I wanted to go ahead and get a little head start in trying to figure out that lake. So now I'm glad I did, because I made it in the TOC, and I'll be seeing you guys there. Let's do it.
All right. Well, we appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for being on. Good luck the rest of the year. And we'll see y'all out there.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Wrong person.
You kicked me out.
Oh, my bad. All right.
Good show.
Yeah, great show, man. So,
love all those people.
Since we're running late, we'll do a little bit of an abbreviated version of some tournaments this week. What you got, Jimmy?
Well, I grabbed a couple. This first one stood out to me. The Ontario Kayak Bassmasters. It's the Bass Nation Kayak Qualifier up there in Ontario. And We did a show with those guys, and it was awesome. So they had 47 anglers. Michael Blumhagen, we'll go with that, took that win with 83 1/4. Matthew Hine with 82 3/4 for second place, and Paul Winkle with 78 1/4 for third. Which 83, you know, that's a, you know, kind of low for five fish, but you know, until last year, I didn't know that they bass fished in Canada, so that's pretty awesome. Moving on, we got the Natural State kayak anglers in the Las Fajitas North Beaver event. Loved that. 43 anglers. Kyle Long took the win there, 88 1/2. Clay Johnson second with 82 3/4. Mr. Dwayne Beatty with third place, 78 1/2. Moving on from there, we had Moyak on Truman Lake. They had 82 anglers. Chad Davison with the win there with 87 1/4. Dorman Huey with 86 for second, and Brandon Prince with 82 for third. Oh, Lord, and I just closed all my windows. I just saved it. No, we're good. I saved it. last but not least, the West Virginia kayak anglers. They were on, I think this was public waters, all public waters in West Virginia. They call it the Weekender. They had 30 anglers for that. Mark Edwards got the win with 91. Jason Stauffer, 88 1/2 for second, and Travis Harper with 87 1/4 for third. So congrats to those guys, and we're sorry that, wow, the background changed. That's awesome. I wasn't ready for the green explosion in the background.
Green explosion!
Boom! It looks like a Mountain Dew ad.
Yeah.
But congrats to those guys, and sorry if we missed any. Me and Dan were both busy, and we both thought each other got the tournaments covered, and we didn't, so I threw it together there at the end.
There you go. Cool. Well, great show. Ooh, wait. Private chat. Did I miss that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank y'all, as always. Thank you for listening, for real. That's, you know, we do this just to get people on and, you know, give them chance to talk about their tournaments and highlight people from all over the country. And we really appreciate y'all listening. We don't say that enough.
No, appreciate the listeners. Another plug. Just for Kate. Love Kate. Love Drew. Love all these guys. Make sure you go follow their stuff. I'm thinking about doing some changes where we start posting that stuff on the social media to you after our shows, just to help these folks out, because they put in a lot of work. I mean, the fishing's fun and everything, but there's a lot more to it. And last thing I'm going to say is,
like, the ticker at the bottom or something.
Yeah. Last thing I'm going to say is, got a different show next week. So make sure y'all tune in next week. And then I'm going to start just a little bit of drama next week. Just a little. Just a little.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ba, ba, ba. All right. Well, good night, everybody. Take us out, Dan.
Where are your PFDs? Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.